This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Arif Roos, and as usual, on the phone lines, over the internet, is Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, and selamat berbuka puasa, I think. Have you just had your dinner, Arif?
Yes. Recovering slowly.
Good.
You know, first week of puasa is always tough, but second week is better.
You know, I want to tell you something. I tried before, you know.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't make it.
You couldn't make it?
I can go without the food bit, but the water thing I cannot.
Yeah.
And I really don't know how you guys do it.
You know what the strategy is?
Yes.
You have to distract yourself by doing things.
Yeah, but you know, with this heat, you know, every year it's hot on Puasa month. It's like the man upstairs is purposely making it hotter, you know?
I know, right?
I'm sorry, this is a car show, but you know, they talk about climate change, but Puasa month, there's no climate change. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, we are obviously missing Richard, as you could have probably heard.
I'm not missing him.
Oh, Richard is going to send us some angry texts right now.
Exactly.
But anyway, we have a very, very interesting show lined up for you today, as usual, in three parts. The first part, we're going to talk about some news. We've got Great Wall Motors, Toyota, Lexus, and I guess a problematic Malaysian automotive industry, isn't it, Daniel?
It is.
And then part two, we're going to talk about BMW's new face, a new variant for the Honda City hatchback, as well as Daniel's pride and passion, a Volkswagen Golf R32. And then finally, a new car review, much anticipated car review of the Mercedes-Benz C200 Avantgarde line. So, without further ado, let's head to the news. First piece of news this week, I remember about a month ago we spoke about Great Wall, or maybe a few months ago we spoke about Great Wall Motors, the Chinese brand. They bought a General Motors factory in Thailand, and there were sort of like half plans of them coming over to Malaysia. We were talking about the Aura Good Cat and the Tank 300 or something like that. Very, very interesting cars, but you have some even better news, aren't they?
Yes. Okay. So Great Wall has been represented in Malaysia for a number of years. The company is called Go Auto. They've been doing reasonably okay, not aggressively pushing the brand, but they were doing okay. They got a couple of outlets around the country. Now we hear that Great Wall, the parent from China, because of the sales success in Thailand. Now, I'll tell you why sales success. In the last 1 year, certain models, especially the SUVs and their plug-in hybrids, they have been outselling certain popular Japanese brands in Thailand.
That's big news.
That's big news. And remember this, they don't have national car status like Proton in Malaysia.
Yep.
Yeah, so without national car status, they've gone into the Thai market with the factory, with assembly, with local new dealerships and all that. And they've managed to outsell certain established Japanese and even Korean brands. So this is quite impressive. Now, I have been watching this brand make a little bit of inroads in Malaysia. You know, I've heard news that they're coming in and all that. But officially, they've put out job vacancy information on LinkedIn. When we did the story, we actually got a screen capture of what they put on LinkedIn. And if you look at the jobs that they're trying to fill out, you'll notice that this is not to open dealerships or assembly. This is basically back-end to run a sales office here to work with the local dealers. So I think Go Auto, don't worry, Go Auto is still going to be around to sell the cars. I think they're going to allow other people to come in now and start selling their cars. So this would mean higher competition. And with the models they have, you know, they got the Aura Cat, which is a reasonably priced electric car. Not great distance in terms of driving range. But still, if you can bring in something like this for 120,000, 130,000 ringgit, which is, I'm estimating, because of the price in Thailand, even though the driving range is low at 200 odd kilometers, this is something which commuters in the city can use.
Yep, especially the Aura Cat, that's a car built for the city use, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, with charging coming up along the way, it'll be able to do long distance, but you know, you just got to stop and charge. But anyway, so they've put on all these job applications and everything else. And also the fact that because they're doing so well in Thailand, I think they know that they can do equally well in Malaysia, which means they are going to rattle Proton and Geely's cage in Malaysia.
I mean, because we've spoken a lot about like how many brands will actually shake up, you know, the national cars, the Protons right. and the Prudos, right? But we always say that Malaysians are very brand conscious, very
True.
Conscious about the country that their cars come from. You know, True. If it ain't German, if it ain't Italian, it's not worth buying.
Okay, but you see, like now, everyone knows that the Proton X70 and X50 are, you know, China-designed vehicles and everything. Of course, mm-hmm. China has come a long way. Geely is in partnership with so many big names in Europe. And, you know, I think they're one of the biggest car manufacturing groups in the world right now. So I think yeah. all that has been moved away. I mean, look at the new Lotus. That's owned by Geely. And look at the design and the quality, you know?
Yep.
Now, with these guys, Great Wall, if you look at some of the vehicles they got, and the one that I personally like is the Tank. The Tank. Which looks like a Hummer and a Jeep put together, you know?
Yeah.
And that could be something that will sell really well here.
Yeah, the Tank is a sub-brand of GWM, Great Wall Motors. And the 300 is what Daniel was talking about. It's like, kind of a rip-off of a Jeep, isn't it? It's got the yes. big round headlights with a line in the middle. But if you go to the website, Daniel, you can find out the Tank 500, which is advertised very similarly to, what is a Chinese version of a Land Cruiser.
Exactly, the new Land Cruiser, which looks like a tank. I think they'll bring all this here and do really well.
I mean, there's a few other brands that they have as well that I want to get your thoughts on, whether okay. they would bring here or not. Because there are a number of sub-brands within this Great Wall Motor umbrella brand. The first one, obviously, we've heard of Haval. They've sold a few cars here, a few happy customers, as you've mentioned quite a while back. But apparently, they are one of the most reputable Chinese automotive brands in 2018, which was like 4 years ago. But they were at one time one of the most reputable Chinese auto brands. And apparently, they'll have two series of cars. So the Haval H series, which I guess, you know, the H4 or the H6 that we've been seeing around in Malaysia, that's the balanced, cost-effective brand. But the exciting other brand, which is the F series, so I guess it would be Haval F something, that is the sporty and fashionable brand. Hmm. So I guess that would cost a bit more. Do we think that they're going to bring them here?
Hard to say, because you know why? These are not available in Thailand at the moment. So I think what they're manufacturing in Thailand will be the cars coming here. It makes more sense because, you know, right-hand drive, because, you know, cars from China are all left-hand drive. They have to do a right-hand drive version for ASEAN. So if the factory is producing already right-hand drive, they will just stick to those models.
It's very interesting stuff. It'll be, again, as mentioned, like last week, we're going to be seeing some very, very interesting cars coming over at least by the end of the year, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, from a Chinese brand to a couple of Japanese brands that have been here for a really, really long time, we're going to talk about Toyota and Lexus because they have had a wonderful March 2022.
Oh, yes, they did. Combined, Toyota and Lexus in Malaysia sold 8,487 cars. It was supposed to be 8,488, but you did not buy a Toyota. So, they're down one. Now, this doesn't sound like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but you're talking about a pandemic, you're talking about economics, chip shortages, certain models are not available. For example, you can't go and buy a Hilux right now because there's a long waiting list because the trucks are not coming in.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, so there are certain models which are not coming in as fast as we think it can because of production issues. But they still managed to do this number of cars. And in total, they did, for this quarter, 22,447. So they're averaging about 7,000 odd cars a month, which is really good. And you know, Toyota is on a game plan to remain the number one non-national car because they lost it to Honda some years ago and they've now gained it back. But
yeah.
With all this success, some people, I'm not going to say who, mentioned that, you know, but Lexus did only 101 units.
That was me.
It sounds low, but you think about it, that means possibly 1,200 units for the year. Now, for a premium brand like this, who's just got a couple of showrooms, and they don't have a lot of models on sale right now, okay? And they don't do local assembly. They're not like Mercedes and BMW. So when you compare that, doing that kind of numbers is pretty good. Now, remember this. Next month, they're bringing in the new Lexus NX SUV.
Mm.
Now, that is an immediate competitor to the very popular Mercedes GLC and the BMW X3. So, you could see a lot of the NX being sold, which could move their sales up by at least double, you know?
And also that you mentioned that, I mean, in the article, that February 2022, they only sold 66 units compared to March, which is 101. And could that be attributed to a bunch of the new cars that they've been introducing as well? You know, yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the LC500s actually rolling around.
Yeah, what you're seeing is just us media guys driving it around. I don't think they've sold a lot enough to make the jump. I think the jump is coming more from the RXL and the ES250 because these two models have been very popular. The problem is when you look at an ES250, the sedan, you'll mistake it for a Camry because it looks almost the same, you know?
Yep.
And when you see the RX, you don't know whether it's a gray import or a, you know, original Lexus model. So these are the vehicles that have been slowly doing better.
Which brings me to, I guess, the question, are people still buying more Lexus gray imports?
The Lexus gray market is still very popular. If you drive around where all the gray importers, you know, have showrooms in the city, you'll notice that they'll always have at least one or two Lexus vehicles amongst the Japanese and German cars. So they still command quite a good following. The only thing that surprises me till today, and I've said it many times, you'll never see a gray importer bringing in a Volvo.
Yeah, that's true.
Never, never.
I wonder why.
Because Volvos are superbly priced in Malaysia.
Yeah, I guess they can't make any more money from that, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And they have a factory here. So
exactly, exactly.
Anyway, thanks for that, Daniel. But finally, we have a very, very, I guess, grim discussion.
Grim, very grim, 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 grim.
Dark as the night sky. These days, post-pandemic years, economy is going down, everything's terrible, life is horrible.
No, it's not that bad. Nah, you
know. Not that bad. But, you know, things are changing. Electric cars are coming along. The way people think about cars and buy cars and make decisions about cars are changing a lot. So I think, Daniel, you wanted to bring up a discussion on why perhaps some new car salespeople might appear to be ignoring some customers.
I wrote this article because some weeks ago, about 3-4 weeks ago, I saw this on social media, one of the, you know, the Facebook car fan pages. This guy came and complained and he said, you know, I went to X showroom and I wanted to test drive a car and the salespeople, you know, didn't even look up at me. He admitted, yes, I was wearing slippers, shorts and a t-shirt, but at least say hello because I'm not buying a million-dollar car, but I was looking at something, you know, about 200 or 1,000. He was a little bit upset. And then I thought, you know, this is an isolated incident. And then after that, a few others started mentioning about the same brand. And then other brands also were being mentioned in different Facebook pages. Mm. So I just put a teaser out there. A teaser means I just went to some of these Facebook pages and said, okay, guys, you know, could it be because of stock issues or could it be because, you know, maybe when you came in, they were, you know, having lunch or maybe you were too early or whatever.
Yeah.
So some of them replied to me. Some of them even gave me a PM and said, no, you know, we went in and we've done this before. And, you know, some of them admitted, yeah, we do this on the weekend. So I decided to walk into two of the showrooms that were being discussed the most actively. And one of the showrooms, nobody bothered with me at all. Nobody bothered with me at all. The second showroom, when I went in, someone just looked up and said, can I help you, sir? I said, I want to look at this car. He said, well, we have no stock and we don't have stock until early next year. So do you need any more help? I said, this model, can I test drive it? Sorry, that's already assigned to a customer. I can't let you test drive it. I said, can I open the door? He said, sorry, the car is assigned to a customer. I cannot let you get into the car. But he was very polite, but he did not stand up and come up and talk to me.
Mm.
So what I did was I contacted the brand head and I told him about it. And he was very upset. He said, no, doesn't matter. They must still attend to customer because they can be a future customer and everything else.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to reveal some very interesting information where this is happening. It's happening. I'm not going to mention the names, but I'm going to say this. It's happening with electric cars mostly.
Ah, surprise, surprise.
Okay. So I'll tell you why it's happening with electric cars. Now, as Malaysians, you know, they love to read about stuff. You know, there's a lot of information out there about electric cars. There's a lot of great YouTube and TikTok videos saying, you know, oh, the car is very fast, or the car got this tech, that tech, this tech, that tech, autonomous driving, blah, 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 everything. So what I think is happening is there's a lot of people going out there and just killing a weekend. You know what I mean? They have no intention to buy. You know, I said, hey, what are we doing on this weekend? Hey, shall we go and test out the electric car? Hey, come now. Yep. We're going to test out the electric car.
It's like going to the Apple store to test out the new iPhone.
Exactly. You got it right. So they're going through the showrooms. Now, if I'm a salesperson and I see the first person coming in and, you know, I got to prepare the documentation because the moment you take a car out, I got to prepare insurance documentation, the indemnity form and everything. I got to take a, you know, screen capture of their IC and driving license. And then, you know, I got to get in the car and I got to, you know, spend some time explaining the car to them and everything else. Yep. And then they go for a test drive and then, you know, the first thing they do is accelerate because I want to see the power of the electric car, you know. Then they'll try and do funny things so that they can see the battery deplete.
As you do.
Yeah. So, and then they'll come back and then they'll sit in the car, they'll play around, they'll play with the aircon, this, that, which is usual. But you see, for the salesperson, I'm not going to make a sale. I've spent 1 hour with this customer. He's irritated the hell out of me. I know he's not going to buy, not because he's underdressed or whatever, because the underdressed people do have money.
Yep.
But I know he's not going to buy because he's playing around with it. He's pairing his phone with the entertainment unit, putting on his best tunes to listen to the sound system because someone reviewed it on YouTube and said the sound system is kick-ass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So this is what is happening. And I think this is why some salespeople, they look up and say, hey, this guy's not going to buy la boda. You know?
At the end of the day, they work so hard to get zero commission.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, of course, when I spoke to the brand owners, they said, irrespective, because why? They got a basic salary and you never know when this customer is going to come back and things like that, or they might go to another showroom. Well, that is a loss for the salesman and the showroom.
Mm.
That is his future. The problem also in Malaysia, salespeople tend to jump jobs the moment they see a little difficulty in selling a vehicle, or they see no new exciting models coming in and they see, oh, all the traffic is going to the neighbor's showroom, which has got some new model, you know?
Mm.
So they immediately try and get a job there. I know a number of car salespeople, male and female, who have jumped brands in the last 5 years to like maybe, you know, four brands or three brands, you know?
Mm.
So they're not very loyal to a brand. Now, how do you stop this? You can't really stop this. But what's going to happen is this. As time goes along, and I'm not talking a very long time, short time, it could happen in the next couple of years, showrooms are going to close.
Yeah.
Because people will start buying cars online.
That's something that a lot of brands have talked about, especially maybe early days of the pandemic. Everybody was like, we got to open up online showrooms, do all the launches all online. Haven't heard much from it since then, though.
Yes. You see, the thing is because there's a huge investment in showrooms. So unless you've made back your money on the showroom and a bit, you're not going to close down. But if you're struggling to just keep going, you might say, okay, never mind, I'll still pump in some money to keep going. But if you've already made your money and you said, this is just too much hassle, you know, my return on investment is 5% a year or 10% a year. I might as well take the money and put it in EPF because EPF is strong and secure. And then you say, why keep the showroom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this could happen. Also because with more and more electric cars coming in, do you really need to test drive a car?
That is very true. I mean, yes. At the end of the day, like just now we made the comparison about it going to, you know, an Apple store and buying an iPhone. At the end of the day, what exactly is the difference?
Yeah. So the next problem is, you better start looking for another job. I better start looking for another job because car reviews will then be obsolete, meaning this show will be obsolete.
We would probably need to branch out to doing computer reviews and appliance reviews, right? How good is this kettle?
No. We will still review the electric car, but in a different way. Does it take selfies while you're driving? Remember I talked about it?
Yeah.
Can you pair four phones to the entertainment system randomly, you know?
That is very useful to the millennial or the Gen Z, I can assure you.
And then, you know, which charging station serves the best donuts? Which serves the best coffee? Which one serves the best, you know, what? Pool beef, something like that. You know, nobody's going to be bothered about the performance, the handling and everything else. Because why? All electric cars are sterile.
They are.
It's all about 0 to 100. If you talk about excitement, that's acceleration.
Yep.
It's all about charging time in terms of battery type, and then it's all about driving range in terms of battery capacity. So it's only three items, and all these three items we are not really going to be able to review.
And those three items probably come from the same 10 suppliers.
Exactly. So then how do you review a car based on design? One man's fish is another man's meat. So now we're going to go into something about design.
Yep, as we're about to find out right after the break. Anyway, thank you so much, Daniel, for that. It's really eye-opening, especially in the dealer side and as well as the customer side.
So your decision to open 3 car showrooms, you should put on hold.
I might expand into selling appliances in the future.
Better, much better.
Yeah. Stick around for part 2 because we're going to be talking about some design, specifically a new face, very, very controversial face. This is BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Arif Roos, and as usual, the ever-entertaining Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello.
Hello, and I hope you enjoyed a very good breaking fast.
Yeah, no special voice for that?
No.
Had enough takes for your VO talent tapes?
Plenty.
Now, just now in part 1, we spoke a lot about, car dealers, car customers, car salespersons, as well as Toyota Lexus having a really good March, and the fact that a Chinese brand, Great Wall Motors, is going to be opening up in Malaysia. They are hiring some people, so check that out in LinkedIn if you're ever interested. For now, though, as Daniel teased, we are going to be talking about design, and as they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and the specific car that I'm going to talk about is not particularly beautiful in my eyes. It's the new BMW X7, and it sports a very different face because back then, we used to have BMWs with the 2 round headlights, and then they had these angel eye things, and then they became sort of like hexagonal shaped. Still very, very BMW. But right now, with this new X7 face, they've decided to split the lights into 2. So you have sort of an eyebrow and an eye, as well as 2 massive kidney grills in the middle. And obviously, we'll have more details about this when the actual X7 and the 7 Series comes out in a couple of weeks. But I just want to get your thoughts on this, Daniel, because this is very controversial.
Okay, all I'm going to say is this, okay? I have just decided to go and see an optician.
Why?
Because I think my eyes are playing tricks. I think I'm not seeing it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to comment on this design because, to be honest, I think some people are just going to love it, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are going to just hate it. I don't want to comment because I've always liked twin round headlamps.
Yep.
Separated at birth. So this to me is just, I cannot comment. I'm sorry, I cannot comment. You, why don't you tell us what you think?
Okay, so I was thinking about this quite a lot. I think it's the right direction for BMW to change the face.
I'm coughing because of your remark. Okay, then. Yes, please.
Because early on, BMWs in the 70s, 80s, they had those 2 round headlights. Very, signature. Whereas everybody was, moving into like single part headlights, BMW throughout the 90s still stuck with the 2 round headlights, and it was a thing. And when everybody was trying out different sorts of shapes and sizes on their new headlights, BMW introduced the angel eyes, as it was called.
Exactly.
I know. I think that was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And that's why the E30 is so desirable, the E34,
Even, the E90s, the E60s, even up to the F generation BMW is very pretty. And then recently, obviously, they made it hexagonal. They added a few lines in it. And I said, it's still a BMW. Mm. But
sorry to interrupt. It's still a BMW because of the kidney grill.
Yeah. And okay. That's, I guess, why I'm all right with them changing it. I guess at this time in the design language, something had to change.
Mm.
There's only so many ways you can skin a horse. Is
true.
That the saying? Skin a cat?
I've never heard of anyone skinning a horse, but I'll go ahead with you.
Probably Tesco with their horse meat scandal a long time ago. But BMW had to change their face. And I think it'll be they've been experimenting with different types of kidney grills. And it's about time, I think, they experimented with it. But having said that, this is just an abomination. Because I don't know if you remember the old Jeep Cherokee.
Yes, I do.
It's exactly the front face of a Jeep Cherokee.
I have to correct you. You're talking about the Trailhawk, the Jeep Trailhawk.
Yes, the smaller one, right?
Yes, it has exactly the same look, yes.
And look at the new Hyundai Kona.
Same look also.
Same look, the new Genesis.
Same look as well.
So what's going on? I mean, come on, they could have thought of something better than this. But I don't know. It's BMW. They're going to sell millions of these.
Right. So now, 30 minutes into the show, now only we all know why Richard Bradbury didn't come on the show with us today. Because as a BMW owner, he owns an older BMW, he's probably just sitting at home and crying at this new design.
Yeah. He couldn't find the words, right?
He couldn't find the words. He couldn't bring himself to come on the show. So, Richard, take care of yourself. Get well soon. We'll hear from you next week.
You'll get over it, just like I did. Anyway, we have some actual car news now. It's the new Honda City hatchback. Obviously, we've introduced this very recently as well. But yes, it's a new trim level, isn't it, Daniel?
It's a new trim level. Now it comes with V-Sensing spec. V-Sensing means it's got all that safety features which you see in the high-spec Hondas. It started with the Honda Accord a few years ago. It drizzled down to the CR-V, then it went to the Civic. And then now the City is getting it even in a lower trim level, which is the 1.5L. And, you know, this is where I have to take my imaginary hat off to Honda Malaysia. They are not stinging on safety features, you know?
Yeah, well done.
They're really pushing the boundary on this. Yes, it is not cheap, okay? At 91,000 ringgit, some people say, oh, you know, it's more than the initial launch price. But the initial launch price didn't have all the safety features. And in today's roads and in today's driving conditions, things like adaptive cruise control, collision mitigation braking system, forward collision warning, lane keep assist, road departure mitigation, lane departure warning, auto high beam. These are all very important features because every new driver and also some older drivers like me are playing with their smartphones and not driving.
Yep. For 91,000, that's basically the top trim level or second highest trim level for the City hatchback.
Correct.
So interesting stuff coming from Honda, but another interesting story that we have today comes right from the heart and the soul of Mr. Daniel Fernandez, because we're going to talk about a Volkswagen Golf R32, which debuted 20 years ago.
R32, 20 years old. Okay, now I want to say this. Can you imagine the R32, when it came out, no one gave it any respect in our part of the world, you know?
I agree.
Because Volkswagen wasn't popular in our part of the world. So, you know, it came with the Mark IV model. And I remember seeing this car and, you know, thinking to myself, one day maybe I can afford it, like new cannot lie, you know? Mm. And today you have cars like the A45, the BM135,
yep,
commanding that big capacity, powerful, hot hatch segment. But people have forgotten about the R32, the original R32. Small, nimble, light, big engine up front, loads of power pushing it.
Yeah, 3.2 liter VR6. That engine was basically used all across the Audi range as well, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. And, you know, because the car was, you know, not the most attractive right now, but at that time, you know, it was really nice looking car. A lot of people just forgot about it. And then the last real R32 came with the Mark V GTI.
Yep.
Okay, not many were sold. But today, I mean, I've not done a used car review on it so far. But, you know, I've seen prices hover around 70 to 90,000.
What?
Yeah, 70
to 90,000.
For an R32? For an R32. And the standard Mark V GTI automatic goes for about 40 to 60,000. The Mark V, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's because it's 15 years old, you can't get a loan and everything else. But the R32 is just a smidgen more. So why is it not much more? Very simple. 3.2 engine, Rotax is heavy, petrol is heavy, but bags of performance.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something really outstanding, something that will really tickle your senses, even when you ignite the engine, go and look at a second-hand R32 Mark V GTI.
I mean, 250 horsepower, 6.2 seconds, DSG transmission before all the issues.
Proper Recaro seats.
Yep, manual gearbox. And if I'm not mistaken, four-wheel drive, wasn't it?
Exactly. You know, just like the Mercedes A45 4MATIC, you know, just like the BMW 135 iX.
Yeah.
The modern hot hatches are all there, but they are 2-liter high-pressure turbo. This was a real, you know, six-cylinder engine, VR6, you know.
And the R32 basically opened the door to what is currently known as the Volkswagen Golf R.
Yes, yes.
It's got the same color.
Yeah, but after that, they were all 2-liter with powerful turbo engines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 2-liter, yeah, it's fast. You can hear all the lovely sound and all that. But when you drive an R32, you know you're driving a real... I mean, you're going back to something that tickles your senses, lah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for bringing forth the R32 into the picture.
20 years old. Light a candle.
What for?
It's birthday, lah. 20 years.
Oh, really?
20 years old. Buy a cupcake, put a candle, you know, and say happy birthday.
If you want to help Daniel celebrate the Volkswagen R32, and if you have an R32 Golf sitting around, why not give us a test drive?
Yes. Good idea, Arif. And then we'll talk about it on the show next week.
Whenever that happens.
No, people are going to call because, you know, 3.2 million people listen to our show.
Or so I've heard. Right, so after the break, we have a pretty special car review, a car which both of us were very impressed by, and a trip that I think we need to applaud Mercedes-Benz Malaysia for doing because it was really, really good.
It definitely was.
Stay tuned for the review of the brand new C200 Avantgarde Line Mercedes-Benz. This is Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Arif Roos, and as usual, we have Mr. Daniel Fernandez on the phone line. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, everybody, and I hope you just enjoyed a very good Buka Puasa.
If you missed any part of the show, obviously, you can go on our website, bfm.my, or any of the podcast apps. We are there. Cruise Control is everywhere, even in your cars, quite literally. But if you missed part one, we spoke about Great Wall Motors coming to Malaysia, Toyota Lexus having a successful March and possibly an even more successful 2022, and some problems in the Malaysian automotive industry with dealers, car salespeople, and cars in general. In part two, we spoke about BMW's new face, Honda City Hatchback, and a Volkswagen Golf R32, and why you should probably take a look at one since it's only about 70 to 80,000 ringgit, right?
Yes, it is.
Right now, we have a pretty exciting car to both of us. It's the new Mercedes-Benz C-Class, the C200 Avantgarde Line, and we took it for a test drive about a month ago. And needless to say, both myself and Daniel were very, very impressed by this car.
To start with, we were impressed with the drive organization. Now, I say this because we attend a lot of test drives in Malaysia, but the last few years, even before COVID, I'm very picky about which test drive I attend. Not because I'm special or I'm important or whatever. It's simply this, Arif, and I want the listeners to understand this. A lot of drives in Malaysia are highly controlled. The car companies, they control the drive where they make us drive in a convoy, which I think is dangerous. They have lead cars and backup cars and everything following us. And then, you know, they keep telling us, turn left, turn right, go here, go there. And then there's someone chattering on the walkie-talkie the whole journey about, you know, oh, this feature, that feature, this feature, that feature. Oh, can you just check this out, check it out. I'm sorry to say this. I find it very, very irritating because why? When you're chattering on the walkie-talkie, I can't enjoy your infotainment system, please. Okay? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, this is Semenanjung, Malaysia. Very difficult to get lost because all the destinations are very popular destinations. They never take us to quiet Airbnbs or secluded kampong roads. You know what I mean? And then it's mostly on the highway with a little bit off the highway and then back again. So we never really get to test drive the car. We're just moving vehicles for them from one location to another location. So over the years, I found these test drives all really meaningless because I'm not getting anything from the new car. But when Mercedes-Benz organizes a test drive, I am first to tell my staff, no, you're not going, I'm going. Because it's very simple. Like you were on this drive, you will understand. I don't want people to think that it's just me talking out loud, yeah?
Yep.
Mercedes-Benz hands you the key. They tell you there's a GPS navigation system in the car provided. So that's the best way to test your navigation system. And they tell you where's the end desired location, correct?
Yep.
So they give you the key and say, please go at your leisure, but please arrive between this time and this time so that we can get you checked into your hotel and turn the cars around for you to do photo shoot and whatever else.
Yep.
So I took the C300 up to Desaru. Did you drive the C300 first or C200?
I drove the 200 first, yeah.
So this review now is for the C200. Why I'm saying this is because on the way up, I went through the back roads and everything else with the C300. But when I was coming back, I took the C200. And again, I drove at my leisure. I picked the journey. I picked the route. I picked, you know, when I wanted to stop, where I wanted to go and take pictures and everything else. And why I'm starting with the C200? Because the C200 felt more accomplished to me.
I absolutely agree with that, 100%.
Yeah, so Mercedes-Benz is bringing the C-Class 200 as an avant-garde trim line. Now, the avant-garde trim line has got that really nice sport seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that really funky headrest. It's got, you know, a 1.5-liter engine, a brand new engine. It's got navigation system. It's got everything you will need in a car. Okay, slightly smaller rims over the C300. That's small matter. But what I'm trying to say is this car is so accomplished. And for the first time after a long time, Mercedes has finally decided to bring that center console entertainment tablet down. You know what I mean? At the center, instead of sticking out like a sore thumb. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's part of the dashboard. And then you got the aircon vents in the center on top. So cooling to the back and to the driver is much better. The tech in this car is amazing. I mean, that 12.3-inch freestanding driver display is just large enough for you to get everything you want out of it. On top of that, you got fingerprint scanner, the drive mode selector on the driver's cockpit screen, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, the build quality, the fit, the finish, they've really moved the boundary on this car.
Just a little point on the infotainment system, because I remember when this new infotainment system, the MBUX, was introduced to the S-Class, and we were all looking at it and we were going, man, that's a bit much, isn't it?
Right.
Because what they essentially did was stick an iPad to the center console, essentially,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But everybody's doing that.
Yeah. And I think we were afraid that we wouldn't be able to operate this properly, or it will be confusing.
Yes, it'll be too distracting. It'll be too, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit difficult to take your eye off to do it. But they've made it so simple.
Yeah, I agree. It was so easy to use, so easy to operate, you know, going through the navigations and, you know, picking up, setting your car up to its perfect spec is, you know, it's very easy.
Also because the multifunction steering wheel, the left of the steering wheel controls the tablet in the center console. On the right, you control your cockpit in front of you.
Yep.
So it's easy for you to get. I mean, I took some time to learn it. And of course, during the drive, I made a few mistakes. Once in a while, I had to actually, you know, stop and actually find my commands. But what I realized is if you're living with this car after a week or so, you'll be doing it without even looking anywhere. With your fingers, you'll be able to sort everything out.
I agree. Let me just tell you my experience of first getting into the car. You know, they gave us the keys and they told us, oh, yeah, you got to be here by 1 p.m. And it was, what, 9:30, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Correct.
You know, just woke up, took the first grab I could, barely had a cup of coffee. It took me about 20 minutes to get going and I was the last person to go. But after I, you know, had everything set up, I never had to touch it again.
Mm. And you see, like when I went, okay, they gave us a time, you know, from what time to meet. Now, I was one of the latest to arrive because I took mostly the back roads, okay?
Yeah.
And I loved it because this car handled so well. And what I thought to myself is, you know, like when I was coming back, because I took the 300 going up, I wanted the 200 to also experience the same thing. I realized the 200 handled better, in my opinion, because on the back road, you do need a slightly smaller rim size to take in the bad roads, you know?
Yes, I agree with that. I think, what is it, 18-inch wheels, right, for the 200? That helps the ride so much. It stops it from becoming too harsh.
Because of the tires are not lower profile also, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think going around the corners, the 1.5-liter engine, it's maybe, what, 184 horsepower and 300 newton meters of torque. In the grand scheme of things, that's barely even 200 horsepower. Nobody's going to really care about that, right?
Yes, yes.
But when we drove, I'm sure you felt this too, when we drove the C300, when you're going around in the back roads, it just feels like it's a bit too much.
Yes. But with the 200, it's far more comfortable on the back road. On a highway, it's all the same, you know.
Yep.
And you know, I was playing with the gear shifts, you know, because I was overtaking, you know, there were a lot of estates, palm oil estates, and everything else.
Hmm.
So whenever there's an opening and there's no double line, I'll be overtaking, and the response of this engine because of the 300 newton meters, very quick response, very nice steering feel, comfortable seat. I drove for about 5.5 hours nonstop. You know, when I stopped, I didn't even do a toilet break.
Yeah.
Because there was no reason to overeat or overdrink because why? They gave you water in the car.
Yeah.
So I could just keep moving. But, you know, I prefer the older roads even though it took a bit longer. But what I realized when I arrived at Desaru, I had no back problems, especially in my age. My thighs were not tired. My feet were fine. I got out of the car. I felt, hey, you know, I could actually drive back to KL right now.
Yep.
And that makes a difference because what? You want a comfortable car, comfortable ride, yet somewhat entertaining, you know?
Yep.
And all this coming from a 1.5-liter turbocharged engine. Yes, it's got assist and everything else. You know, it's called the ISG engine, you know?
But, yep.
Which has got a 48-volt onboard electrical system that ensures functions such as gliding, boosting, and energy recovery is done to get a bit more fuel saving. But, you know, on this drive, I wasn't thinking about fuel saving at all. Now, as you would have done, when we reach our destination, they ask you to refuel. So, when we went up, it was a 300. My refueling cost about 60-something ringgit, okay?
Mm.
Which means on a 300, I spent 60-something ringgit getting there, right?
Yep.
Now, on the way back, we had to refuel also. And I had to refuel only about 58 ringgit.
Mm.
So, that means there is some fuel saving, even though we are pushing hard on non-highway roads, you know?
Yep. Very respectable.
Very respectable. Very impressive new C-Class. My only worry right now is for the arrival.
The 320i.
Yes, because it's already 4 or 5 years old. A new one is expected. But then there's a rumor that BMW will not bring back a petrol version. They'll bring back either a full plug-in hybrid or an electric version. So that means Mercedes will have an advantage over BMW for the next few years because this car is not going to go away so soon.
Nope, it's brand new.
Yes, and when they launched it, it was already sold out before its launch in Desa Park City.
Worth mentioning that the sold out units are the CBU units. They are going to be locally assembling this, but the timeline is still as usual with Mercedes. They are unwilling to reveal that much details at the moment.
Right. And the order bank is climbing. But let me tell you this. I did go into a Mercedes-Benz showroom and they did say hello to me.
What?
No, well, because that... I had a friend, you know, after I did the review on DSF, he read it, he said, if the car is that good, I want to go and test drive it. So we actually went to a Mercedes-Benz showroom. They were entertaining, but they said, you will not be able to get your car this year, so you're not going to enjoy the Panjana discount. Can you wait till next year? My friend said, yeah, sure, but I still want to test drive the car. He went and test drove the car. They had a unit and he was taken completely. He said, you know, I'm not going to bother with the 300. I'll just go with the 200. The price is right. So what is the price of the C200? Let me tell you this. 288,000 ringgit. That's for the fully imported version.
Yeah.
So the local assembled version will probably be a little bit less or maybe the same price, but loaded with more stuff. End of the day, 288,000 ringgit for a Mercedes-Benz. And with all that tech, I think that's a pretty good deal for that segment.
Agreed. And to be honest, what else do you want more or need more in a car than what this C200 has? It has the big screen, it has all the touchscreen systems, all the leather seats, beautiful interior design, great ride quality, looks great. Any more adjectives, Daniel?
Well, you know, there are always accessory packages that come out of Mercedes-Benz. You know, they could put an AMG small kit on it, you know?
Which I guess brings me to the next question, because we do like this car more than the C300. We do like the C200 more than the 300. But
right. What
I have been thinking about was, what does the 300 present more than the 200? And I think that's a good question to ask right now.
Yes, but I'm waiting for them to give me the car over the weekend, one of these weekends, because I really want to get into the car and decide whether it's worthwhile to pay for the C300 or just buy an E-Class. Because the C300 price and the E-Class starter price is very close.
The C-Class is big enough to be considered an old E-Class. So
yes.
Yes.
It's grown in size like with every new model that comes out.
So, final verdict, Daniel?
I like this car. I can't afford it. BFM pays me well enough, but I still cannot afford it. So I'll have to wait for a second-hand model.
And of course, wait for Daniel's verdict after he's taken the weekend test drive of the C300 to find out whether you should either stay with the C200 or step up to the E200 instead.
Mm.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And thank you for the review, Daniel. If you've missed any part of the show, you can access this podcast on bfm.my or any other podcast platforms. We're on it. You can also visit Daniel's website at dsf.my. Hit him up on Facebook, ask him more questions because he apparently loves those questions. He doesn't. But you can also visit us on our Instagram at BFM Cruise Control, where I, this week, will be taking out a Volvo V60 on a little road trip. Exciting stuff. So stay tuned for that. On behalf of Mr. Daniel Fernandez and myself, Arif Roos, we will see you next week on Cruise Control, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.